There are days when you can look out your window and you know that the wind is blowing. The treetops are swaying and you can hear the wind whistle through the leaves. It's a glorious sound and a reminder of the power that is present in the natural world. And I think that all of us have had days when we have fought against the wind. Perhaps you are a golfer and you have been out on the golf course and you have made what you think is the perfect shot, and then a gust of wind blows in and your perfect shot veers off into the rough. Or you've been out trying to fly a kite, a time when a little bit of wind is helpful. But then you get a gust of wind, and it sends your kite into a tailspin, or worse, rips it from your hands. And perhaps you've simply been trying to walk down the street, only to have a gust of wind literally stop you in your tracks. I am convinced that the windiest spot in Coburg is at the Terry Fox Public School, particularly where I stand to pick up the boys after school. The wind gusts through this particular part of Coburg like nothing I have experienced. Walk 50 feet off the school grounds, and there is no wind. Walk onto the school grounds, the little area where you pick the kids up, and the wind threatens to knock you over. Well, this morning we celebrate Pentecost, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost was a Jewish agricultural festival. It was held 50 days after Passover. It was a day when farmers brought the first wheat from their crop and they offered it to God. However, it was not simply an agricultural festival. It was a reminder of the great stories which dominated the imagination of the Jewish people. Stories of the Exodus, receiving the law. Pentecost, then, isn't just about the first fruits. It is about God giving God's redeemed people, a way of life that they must now live out. And as I said to the children, we often equate the Holy Spirit with a dove, a bird which we view as gentle. However, in his narrative from Acts, Luke describes the Holy Spirit as a violent force which empowers the faithful and propels the church into being. The coming of the Holy Spirit is not a gentle breeze. It is not the fan on one, it's the fan cranked up to 11. I mean, imagine, if you will, the windows of this sanctuary bursting open with the power of the Spirit. The Greek word used to describe its coming is violent, not a strong wind, as the Good News translates it, but a violent wind. Holy Spirit, if we can use this metaphor, is like a meteorologist tracking a storm. It's important that someone somewhere is tracking the storm and telling us what it's doing. But when it comes to Pentecost, it's far more important that you are out there in the wind, letting it sweep through your life, your heart, your imagination, your powers of speech, and transform you from a listless or lifeless believer into someone whose heart is on fire with the love of God. However, before we go any farther, we should set the scene. You see, in the first chapter of Acts, which we did not read this morning, we are told that all the apostles and followers of Jesus had gathered together. And the purpose of this gathering was to select a 12th apostle, someone to replace Judas Iscariot. And we are told that Matthias is elected as a disciple, as an apostle, and then we never hear about Matthias again. But what we are also told is that 120 followers of Jesus were there that day. That this was all of the faithful. 120. And so let that number sink in for a moment. 120. On most Sundays, we have a little less than 100 people here in worship. A very similar number to the first individuals who identified as followers of Jesus. And shortly after meeting, the Holy Spirit rushes in with like a violent wind, not to birth the church, but rather to empower those 120 believers to go out and bear witness to what they know about Jesus. Peter would go on to preach and share the words of the prophet Joel, saying, "Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And we shouldn't think for a moment that our women also aren't dreaming and seeing visions and leading us. But what dreams do we have? What are our young people telling us that perhaps we aren't hearing? What visions are before us that we should be seeing, that we should be thinking through? On this passage, Will Willimon notes that when God pours out God's Spirit on people, those who speak are often those whom the world tries to silence. Various servants whom we tell to keep quiet and to just do what we tell them. Children and young adults whom we tell are too inexperienced to speak. And old people whom we tell, since their day is past, they're just too old to say anything meaningful anymore. Now we know that those words are wrong. We see value in the laughter of children, and we have as much to learn from a younger generation as we do from an older generation. What we need to do is trust in God's guidance, to feel the wind blowing as the Holy Spirit works and moves in our lives and in this community of faith. And it's not a subject that we touch on often in Presbyterian circles. Probably once a year on Pentecost, we talk about the Holy Spirit. And I can confess that I probably spend more time focusing sermons on Jesus, on his life and his teaching, than I do on other aspects of the Trinity. But Pentecost is a time when the church comes together in prayer for how we can be moved forward by the Holy Spirit, to recognize how we are being called to be faithful to God's word in our lives. It's a time when we look to and when we trust in the Holy Spirit. Preacher Barbara Brown Taylor, in one of her last public addresses, describes the Holy Spirit as someone we trust, not something we understand. We know from reading Scripture what the Spirit did for those early faithful disciples. What do we trust the Spirit to do in our own lives? Are we willing to trust God in such a way? To let go and simply trust, perhaps not fully understanding what God is doing in our lives? We tend only to believe in the Spirit's activity in our lives if it's comfortable and convenient, if it affirms what we want to hear, not what we need to hear. And sometimes we need to hear hard truths. Sometimes the Spirit blows violently and that scares us. But sometimes that's what we need. And right now, I believe that the church needs a violent demonstration from the Holy Spirit. We need to understand God's power and therefore our power in that light. Not as a meek presence in the world, but as a transformative power. Because working with God, with the power of the Holy Spirit blowing through us, we are capable of wonderful things. And please understand that by a violent demonstration from the Holy Spirit, I am not asking for things to be destroyed. Shaken up, perhaps, but not destroyed. I believe we need a reminder, a strong reminder of God's sovereignty, a reminder of what we are called to do as disciples of Christ. And I pray that as General Assembly meets today and begins its work, that God's Spirit would be felt powerfully by all who are in attendance. And I pray that this community of faith here, us, St. Andrew's Coburg, would also feel a profound and tangible moving of the Holy Spirit. Just as the early church was moved to bear witness, that we too would go and bear witness. Just think, 120 followers of Jesus, 120 scared, terrified followers of Jesus. People who thought that the authorities were going to knock on their door at any moment to arrest them. And from those terrified but faithful 120 individuals, the church sprang to life. We are not so different. Thanks be to God.